starting out today on a little holiday theme, talking about Christmas in the culture, open lines for the first 25 minutes of Issues Etc. We're going to hear from Matt Staver of the Liberty Council. He's concerned about the state of Christmas in the culture. Also, just by way of maybe a little lighthearted entertainment, too, here during Open Lines, last year, right about this time, we played for you and had a little Open Lines on Virgin Mobile's Christmas ads. And now Virgin Mobile is this huge cellular telephone company, and I think they do a bunch of other stuff, too. Very famous CEO, kind of gallivants around the world doing high-risk adventures. And their ads are pretty risky, too. They make an attempt to include every religion they can possibly think of and some that aren't even religions in their ads. And we're going to play a couple of their ads for you here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Open lines for your questions and your comments. Our call-in numbers 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Then at about 3:30, Pastor Bill Swirla will join us. We're going to talk about the Merry Christmas controversy with him. He's had a few things to say. An article on his blog is titled Happy Holidays, Take Two. We'll see what our regular guest, Pastor Bill Swirla, has to say about the whole flap from, well, until about 4 o'clock. Then in the second hour of the program, Scott Klusendorf is going to join us on a more serious note. These ads have been running in Missouri. They are in favor of a Missouri referendum that is scheduled for next November. It's called, innocuously, the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative. Former Senator Danforth has lent some of his prestige to these ads, and a couple of them have been playing very in high rotation in the St. Louis market. The initiative, at least in the ads, sounds like it's going to ban all human cloning in Missouri. And it sounds like it's going to lead to all sorts of promising cures for many diseases. But that's not what these ads are really about, and Scott Klusendorf will join us to respond to each and every one of them. There are six of them from 4 till about 4:45, and then we'll pick up with our last guest, very interesting holiday movie review. Brian Godawa will join us, a screenwriter from Southern California and a regular guest on the program. We'll be looking at all these holiday movies that have made it out. And, of course, we've got to start by talking about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. That's coming up about 4:45 here on Issues Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The battle over the secularization of Christmas is well underway. This year it seems to have taken on a heightened edge, don't you think? I mean, more people are talking about it, more people are aware of it. It seems to have entered into the pop culture in a full way, where now it's, you know, now the subject of jokes and things like that, the secularization of Christmas. Well, one of those on the very front line of this battle is Attorney Matt Staver of the Liberty Council. He says that his organization, the Liberty Council, has helped many stores and schools keep Christmas in the holiday season.
I think there is a war against Christmas. We have many exhibits to show that very fact. But the good news is I think the Grinches are on the run this year.
Now, this is a term you've heard, haven't you? The Grinches are on the run. The Grinches are stealing Christmas because, among other things, some major low-end department stores have decided that Merry Christmas is not the best thing for their employees to say by way of holiday greeting, so it's now Happy Holidays. Walmart among them. I think there are a couple others. Target, if I'm not mistaken. And add to that, I mean, I would add to that the closing of many megachurches on Christmas Sunday. I wouldn't necessarily call that a Grinch-like move. I don't think they're doing it out of any sense of cynicism or anti-holiday sentiment, but it does play into the mix, and I think it is another evidence of the secularization of not the culture, but the church. Now, we all know who the Grinch is, by the way, don't you? That green character from the Dr. Seuss novel, and then it was made into the animated feature that everyone watches with such big adoring eyes every Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's become a catch-all phrase for people who have the bah humbug attitude or who just don't want to say the right words at Christmas. Now, Matt Staver says Christmas isn't unconstitutional.
the law is fairly clear. You can have nativity scenes and you can sing Christmas carols in schools. All of that's permissible. The problem that we encounter is the misunderstanding of governmental officials. They erroneously assume that the safe route is censorship, when in fact that is most likely the unconstitutional route. The safe route is to recognize the various aspects of the holiday, which include undoubtedly Christmas.
Okay, there are all sorts of aspects to this holiday, and this time of the year, it's called the holiday season for a reason. It's more than just Christmas, isn't it? I mean, if we look at the culture as a whole, it is also Hanukkah that happens to coincide with Christmas this year, just coincidence. Also Kwanzaa, which is kind of the Johnny-come-lately religion of the holidays. Ramadan kind of comes close. I mean, it edged in there during the November month, so there's a little bit of that. And who knows? I mean, the pagans for millennia have been celebrating the winter solstice. I don't know if they celebrate the winter solstice or if they mourn the winter solstice. In any event, they do their thing this time of the year as well. So the holiday season, Staver says, the holiday season ought to include Christmas. Now, you will note, however, that Target and Walmart have not... They have not instructed their employees to say Happy Hanukkah or Happy Kwanzaa or Happy belated Ramadan. No, just Happy Holidays, a general term, a very general term. Staver says it's censorship. Now, he does have a point. Lawmakers have erred on the side of, I would say, political correctness. They have erred on that side rather than say, well, let's just let everybody do their thing. So he does have a point there. So are you concerned about the secularization of Christmas? Our call in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So how big a deal is this with you when Walmart employees don't say Merry Christmas? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I live a stone's throw from a Super Walmart, and we go down there probably at least several times a week to pick something up. You walk in, there are the ubiquitous greeters. Most of the time, most of the year, they just say hi. They don't say happy summer. Around Easter time, they don't say happy Easter. Around Thanksgiving, maybe you'll get a happy Thanksgiving out of them, something like that. But most of the time, it's just, hi, do you need a shopping cart? You know, this issue is all the rage on Christian radio and television. Is it a big deal to you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Matt Staver again. He says that it isn't inclusive to exclude Christmas from schools and from stores.
We have resolved hundreds of these situations around the United States, and I think more and more people are saying enough is enough. We're not going to stand by and let Christmas simply be censored or completely secularized. And so from the retail market to the public market, Christmas is having a major comeback this year.
Now, technically speaking, anytime the culture celebrates Christmas as the culture celebrates Christmas, it's secularized. They can call it Christmas. They can spell the word Christ in Christmas in capital bold letters. But as they celebrate it, it's still secularized. Only Christians, only the church can celebrate Christ Mass as Christ Mass. Technically. Now, if you want the culture to acknowledge that it has some religious content, that it's a religiously significant holiday, good. But if you expect the culture to celebrate anything in anything other than a secular way, you're asking more than the culture can do. They can't do it. In the same way the culture can't celebrate Ramadan in a truly Muslim way. They secularize it. Finally, here's Matt Staver again. He's senior counsel for the Liberty Council, and he says that many Christian shoppers are avoiding the stores that don't mention Jesus at the holiday season.
People are serious this year at a level I've never seen before. They are boycotting those stores that censor or secularize Christmas, and they're patronizing their competitors.
I don't know if I want Walmart or Target or any other retail store. I mean, it's neither here nor there whether they say Merry Christmas to me. Just please, show me where the socket wrenches are. That's all I want. Show me where the bread is. Keep the lines at the checkout short. But do I really want a nativity scene there? The way Walmart would do it? What would they do? They'd put it next to the diapers. And they'd try to sell me diapers with the baby Jesus. They would use the images of Christmas, the religious content of Christmas, to sell stuff. Because that's what retailers do. They sell stuff. It's kind of the reason they exist. And the culture, and retailers in particular, will always use the holidays, whatever holidays they are, just like Christmas, for their own ends. To make money, to promote something, to say something the culture wants to say. Give me a call on this issue. How important is it to you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, there is a company that has not shied away from including every religious observance possible. Not even those that are celebrating something at this time of the year. Every religious observance that they can think of in their ads right this time of the year. It's Virgin Mobile. Last year we played one of their ads for you. It was the Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa ad. And it was very cute and it had all sorts of interesting little characters. They've brought it back this year along with a couple other ads. This one features a very interesting version of a Christmas carol, Silent Night, by the Hindu Santa.
Silent Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa night, holy Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa night, Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa is calm, Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa is bright, my new phone vibrate and tickle me, holy guacamole it play MP3, can I have some chutney please, can I have some chutney please, thank you.
Now that's what it sounds like when a company embraces the holiday season. That's what it sounds like. And what are they doing? Unapologetically using every possible religion they can think of to sell you a phone and to sell you their service. That's what it sounds like. Now that's the secularization of Christmas. And it's darn funny. That's what becomes of every religion, every religious holiday, when you put it in the hands of the culture. And, by the way, if you want Christmas observed, I think the Virgin ads do teach a lesson. If you want Christmas observed, then you better well be observing, or at least mentioning, in some way, all of them. Well, not to be left out, along with the Hindu Santa, there is also, and these characters have made it back from last year's Virgin Mobile ads, the two Jewish rabbis who sing a very traditional Hanukkah tune here with, again, the Virgin Mobile twist.
I have a Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa dreidel. I made it out of non-pork meat. My Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa dreidel. Can you feel its kosher heat? My non-pork dreidel is so yummy. I put it in my mouth. I can feel it in my tummy. I think it's heading south. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made you out of meat. Dreidel, 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 you'll soon come out my seat.
Thank you.
There we go. It's a little bit of bathroom humor tossed in, just to make sure that, you know, you're selling to every level of society. Don't want these things to be too highbrow now, do you, during the holiday season, because they're trying to sell your phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Are you one of those who has bemoaned in the last couple weeks the secularization of Christmas? And bemoaned the fact that retail outlets won't say Christmas? What do you think about a company like Virgin Mobile who has, I think, are on to something? In fact, they've got another one running that we didn't get where they actually beep out the Christmas. Craig was telling me about this before we came on the air. They sang a Christmas song and they beep out the Christmas. A little bit of a joke. And look, you put Christmas in the hands of the culture, and this is what the culture will do with it. And at least their ridicule, if you can call it ridicule, is equal opportunity. Now, this is a reprise of last year's Virgin Mobile Christmas ad. Happy Christmas Hanukkah. I'm going to play it here for in a minute. It does have a slightly racy section in there, but don't let it alarm you. It's open lines. I want to know what you think about the secularization of Christmas. Does it disturb you? Is it either or? Is it either Virgin Mobile, mention everyone and poke fun equally at everyone? Or can we ever go back to the polite society where when you walk into the store, the clerk says, Merry Christmas? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then coming up in about 10 minutes, Pastor Bill Swirla, a regular guest here on the program, will join us to talk about the Merry Christmas controversy. He has written recently on his blog an article titled, Happy Holidays, Take Two. We'll see what he has to say about it. What do you have to say? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This is the reprise of last year's, and this commercial features an angel singing the old Christmas Hanukkah song.
It's okay if you're Muslim, a Christian or a Jew. It's okay if you're agnostic and you don't know what to do. An all-inclusive celebration with eggnog for lubrication. Happy Christmas Hanukkah to you. And the pagans too. In some ways we're all monkeys, but maybe just a smidgen. I'm a gynecologist.
Well, now that's my kind of religion.
Whose face is the right one? It's anybody's guess. What matters most is camera phone for $50 less. Everyone's invited, it's a planet-wide affair. Hey, isn't that Tiny Tim dancing in his underwear? Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, I got to you. Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa to you.
Well, I'm assuming from the lack of your phone calls that you don't care much about the secularization of Christmas. I think what Virgin is doing is brilliant, in fact. All-inclusive celebration. And if you expect the culture to do your Christmas proclamation, your Christmas celebration for you, then this is what the culture will do. And, you know, you can't make laws saying that Virgin Mobile can't make commercials like that. I guess you could try. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, to the real Christmas, the kind of Christmas that only Christians can, by definition, observe. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is called The Shepherd's Christmas Story. It tells the story of Christ's birth from the perspective of the shepherds, and it puts the emphasis on how God would bring the message of Christ's birth first to those who probably were considered the least worthy to hear it. It's called The Shepherd's Christmas Story. It's $12.99 plus shipping and handling. Beautifully illustrated kids' book. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find it at our webpage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for December, The Shepherd's Christmas Story. Bert's on the line from St. Louis. Bert, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Bert.
I had a response on your question. The thing that's been disappointing me is this has been talked about for about a month now, and I haven't seen any churches go down with a sign and some tracks at the exits of the stores inviting people to come down to their church and worship Jesus. And it seems to me that the question's backwards. Our job is to profess Jesus and not to expect the store that has no soul to be excited by Christmas.
It's a good point, Bert. Thank you very much. Or to use Christmas for anything other than its own commercial ends. I mean, you talk about they used to decry this, the commercialization of Christmas. Christians used to get worried about this. Really? Way back in like the 50s. They used to get worried about the commercialization of Christmas. You're commercializing a Christian observance. And now we want them to do it. we want them to do it. And when they stop, and we say, look, we're not going to commercialize Christmas. We're just going to call it the holidays. That way we can't be accused of commercializing anything. And Bert is right. I mean, I haven't spent that much time down at Walmart. I haven't seen anyone outside trying to rectify what they think is missing inside. Whose job is it to proclaim the message of Christmas? Walmart's? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This story comes from the AP. Catholic Action League of Massachusetts says that the state's Catholic hospitals should refuse to comply with a law there that takes effect today. The law requires hospitals to offer the morning after pill to rape victims. Now, let's hear from C.J. Doyle from the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts. He says that Catholic hospitals should refuse to abide by this law.
We view this law as a very heavy-handed aggression against the consciences and against the constitutional rights of Catholics. It would force Catholic hospitals to compromise their religious integrity and their Catholic identity.
And I don't think it's only a matter of Catholic identity either. But Catholic hospitals don't do abortions. They, as far as I know, don't offer any type of contraception. And the morning after pill ought to be out of the question as well. C.J. Doyle, again, says that the appropriate response for the Catholic hospitals is simply not to comply with the law.
We view this law as a very heavy-handed aggression against the consciences and against the constitutional rights of Catholics. It would force Catholic hospitals to compromise their religious integrity and their Catholic identity.
And finally, C.J. Doyle, executive director of the Catholic Action League of Massachusetts, says that Catholics simply cannot obey this law in good conscience.
The problem from a Catholic standpoint is this is potentially abortifacient, that if conception has occurred, it prevents implantation on the uterine wall. So we're really talking about a kind of embryonic abortion, which, of course, would be entirely contrary to Catholic moral and ethical and medical principles.
That's a very clearly put. That's about as clear as I have ever heard the case made for the morning after pill. The only place I would quibble with Doyle is that it's not kind of a embryonic abortion. It is an embryonic abortion. But those are terms I can understand. Those are terms anyone can understand. Because the morning after pill can lead to an embryonic abortion, Catholics cannot support it, and they cannot be required to offer it in their hospitals either. We'll see what happens. The law takes effect. It's on the books. Will Catholic hospitals be exempt in Massachusetts from this law that would require them to offer this to rape victims? When we come back from this break, Pastor Bill Swirl is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about the Merry Christmas controversy. He's pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California. And then Scott Klusendorf joins us. There are 6 ads running in high rotation, television ads, in Missouri in favor of what's being called the Missouri Stem Cell Research and Cures Initiative. Scott Klusendorf will respond to those ads coming up in about a half hour on Issues Etc. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We all know the shepherds played a major role in the Christmas story. The angel of the Lord announced the Messiah's birth to the humblest, lowest people, not to kings in their palaces or priests in their temples. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a children's Christmas book titled The Shepherd's Christmas Story. This beautifully illustrated book contains imagery of the 23rd Psalm, the Good Shepherd, and the Lamb of God. You can find out more about The Shepherd's Christmas Story on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Why not spend some time reading The Shepherd's Christmas Story with your young child or grandchild? The book costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Shepherd's Christmas Story, our Issues Etc. book of the month for December.
Now this Global Minute lets you hear that decorating Christmas trees in Russia is a recent tradition. Valerie Zakovich says former communist authorities used to track down people with trees and punish them for being Christians.
During communist regime, not all families could have a Christmas tree because it was against the law. And it was difficult. And communist government, they, by Christmas tree, they could find who is a Christian or who is not.
Valerie says the trappings of Christmas aren't as important as needing strong Christian leaders to help people grow in their faith.
We need good and godly leaders in Russia. And we need good missionaries and good preachers and good leaders.
Pray for Russian families to worship Christ. The Global Minute is a service of this station and missionvisionnetwork.org.
The Meyer Minute is underwritten by the North St. Louis County Chapter of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, including Emmanuel Lutheran Chapel on Old Halls Ferry Road and St. Jacoby Lutheran Church on Jennings Station Road.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Some weeks ago, I was walking through O'Hare Airport. As I passed two women, I overheard them crabbing about people who don't speak English. There's opportunity for that. On Monday, the Center for Immigration Studies reported that 12.1% of the American population, that's 35.2 million people, are immigrants. This is the highest influx since 13.5 million came in 1910. And if you're wondering, 9.7 million of our current immigrants are illegal. This is biblical. God called Abraham to emigrate from his native country. When there was famine in Israel, Jacob immigrated to Egypt. Today we might say they sought better economic conditions. The Babylonian captivity forced people out of Israel, helping make the diaspora, Jews living away from Israel, an enduring fact. And Christian talk about being pilgrims is sometimes figurative, but other times literal. Peter says, "I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world." He who knows every bird on the mountains and says the creatures of the field are mine sees all this and uses it to his purpose. There will be nothing wrong if America alters its immigration policies, but that lady should check her crabby attitude. We all should. I bet a certain innkeeper from long ago now wishes he had made room in his heart for some strangers. I'm Dale Meyer.
AM 850 KFUO wants you to have a very Merry Christmas. So we're giving you a chance to win a Build-A-Bear Workshop Christmas teddy bear. All you have to do is
listen for the jingle bells.
That's your cue to call and register. One registration per family, please. Then we'll draw and award one Build-A-Bear Workshop bear on the first three Fridays in December. See the cute, cuddly bears on our homepage at KFUO.org. And
listen for the jingle bells
on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Bill Swirla joins us here for this half hour. We're going to pick up where we left off in from the first 25 minutes and talk more about the Christmas, the Merry Christmas controversy. Not Merry Christmas, but Happy Holidays. And then in about 25 minutes, Scott Klusendorf is going to join us from the Life Training Institute to respond to these ads coming up from the Missouri Coalition for Life-Saving Cures, six TV ads running here in Missouri, a referendum in November that purportedly, according to the ads, would ban all human cloning in Missouri and help find life-saving cures. There are a few problems with that promise. We'll find out what they are from Scott Klusendorf coming up in 25 minutes. And then the last 45 minutes of the program, Brian Godawa joins us. He's a Hollywood screenwriter. We'll talk about holiday movies, do some reviews of the films, starting with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Pastor Bill Swirla is a regular guest. He is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, and author of an article on his blog titled Happy Holidays, Take Two. Bill, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Blessed Advent, Todd. Hey, before we get started, I got a quick Advent quiz for you.
Okie dokie.
Blue or purple?
You mean my preference?
Just blue or purple?
Purple.
Uh-huh. Three blue and a pink or four blue?
Four blue.
Four blue. And is your Christmas tree up already?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
How did I score?
Well, average.
No, let me tell you, my Christmas tree is up because the wife insists.
Yeah, that's that wise. That's wise. Very wise.
That's a matter of domestic tranquility. If it were up to me, baby Jesus would not be in the manger nor would the tree be up until Christmas Day.
Yeah, and you probably have the Magi from your nativity scene about 40 miles due east right about now.
Some people do that. My son gets to set up the nativity scene, so everyone, animals included, are all crowded into a very, very small stable at this point. Last year he set it up with the baby Jesus in the back of the stable, and everyone, all you could see was the backs of everybody. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and everybody. That's all you could see. They were all just the way the real Christmas probably looked.
Yeah, something kind of appropriate about that. So,
all right. Talking about the Merry Christmas controversy, Bill, is Jesus upset with Walmart?
Only unless they're not delivering lower prices, I suppose. this whole business about Merry Christmas, you know, this is one of those things where sometimes I think we Christians not only stick our foot in our mouth, but we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot, too. You know, there are people kind of getting their mistletoe all in a knot over the fact that the girl behind the cashier counter is wishing us happy holidays. And I got to thinking about that a little bit, and a couple of questions come to my mind. One is Christmas, Christ's Mass. Do we really want that to be a generic, commonplace greeting? You know, is this our desire that the Mass of Jesus Christ, referring to the liturgy, the Word and the Sacrament, celebrating the incarnation of the Son of God, do we want that to go the way of goodbye and bless you after a sneeze? You know, I think we really ought to stop and think about that. The other thing is, what does this have to say with regard to our doctrine of the two kingdoms? You know, Walmart's not a Christian institution. No department store is a Christian institution. In fact, institutions don't have beliefs or faith. The people who work for them do, but institutions don't. Nor does the government. See, you know, I don't know, people get upset because George Bush's seasonal card was seasonal. And to me, you know, I don't look to the White House to preach, and I don't look to Walmart to preach. That's why we're confused in American culture. You go to church for preaching. And you go to Walmart for lower prices, and you go to you look to the White House to protect your personal liberty.
Okay, what about the other greetings then? Because this is, in a genuine sense, a holiday season, a season of now many holidays, including Hanukkah that happens to fall right near Christmas, and some are celebrating Kwanzaa, and others perhaps of the pagan bent, maybe just the winter solstice. Should Christians shy away from these kind of greetings in the public square?
Hey, it's a fun time of year, isn't it?
Yeah.
And see, here's the thing, and this is what I wrote on that little blog piece that I said, you know, from a Christian perspective, here's how I look at it. You say what you believe. You know, as your heart believes, so your mouth confesses. So as a Christian, I wish the whole world a blessed Merry Christmas. For this reason, that Christ came to save all, including those who don't bother to believe it either. You know, I mean, he's the Savior of all. He's the incarnate Savior of the world. So that's my greeting to the world. Now, if somebody says Happy Hanukkah to me, I'm not upset by that, because I think that it's kind of cool that the Maccabee boys beat the Greeks up and got the temple back, and God took care of the place and he cared for Israel in that time after Malachi, before John the Baptizer, until the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, and the coming of the true and eternal temple that is his incarnate flesh. So I can celebrate that as much as anybody. In fact, I'm thinking of putting a menorah in my window next year just to keep the neighbors a little bit off kilter there. and winter solstice, I can celebrate the divine word that ordered all things, and the divine intelligence that tipped this gem of a planet of ours so that we have seasons that make life as we know it possible, and I can even take delight in the growing darkness and then the return of the light, and think of Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who rises with healing in his wings. You know, we're as much a part of the created order as anybody. And even Kwanzaa, I suppose. I don't know. I don't understand Kwanzaa, because Kwanzaa is supposed to be African, but it was made in America, but that's how things are in America. But, you know, that's a celebration of heritage and people, and we know how important that is. I don't know about you, Todd, but, you know, I'm half German and Polish and Ukrainian, and I'm proud of my heritage as well, and all the contributions that my people have made, and I also recognize that how different cultures and races and heritages all blend into all the prejudice and hatred that we harbor, all of us, in our hearts for each other, and that's sin to be repented of, and how Christ has made us one in his human flesh. So, you know, in a sense, we can kind of embrace the whole thing in Christ and not be so defensive about it. And I think that's really my point, is Christians don't come off well when we're defensive.
There's maybe behind this lurks a sense of competition. I mean, there may have been a time where certain places in the U.S., Christmas went unrivaled for decades, for perhaps even for centuries, as the holiday celebration. So all the businesses would have said Merry Christmas. There wouldn't have been any changes there. But nowadays, this is not just multicultural, it's multi-religious society we live in.
You know, I'm not sure about that. I just read a thing yesterday, and it dovetailed nicely with some of the things I'd been looking up. I always do a little Christmas research around December, that for a long time, in many of the colonies, Christmas was banned.
Really?
In Massachusetts Bay Colony, there's a formal proclamation complete with stiff fines for celebrating Christmas. And even as late as the 19th century, it was common for Christmas Day to be a work day. In fact, Congress met on Christmas Day one year. I think there's a little bit of romance going on in terms of, you know, what we think about Christmas Day and its celebration. It seems like it's been much more, if anything, a family day. And only in liturgical churches that have a real sense of liturgical time, liturgical space, and I would add sacrament, you know, the sacramental churches, would really recognize that as holy day rather than holiday.
Interesting, you started out by talking about Christ Mass, the Mass of Christ's Nativity, is the way you'd say it in its fullest way, I think. It is a bit ironic that many churches are fighting for Christmas, but they have no intention whatsoever of celebrating Christ Mass.
Well, some have even decided to close on Sunday this year, which is kind of interesting, although it fits the Baptist background. I grew up in an area that had a rather prominent Baptist church, and that always stuck out when I was a kid, was they didn't have church on Christmas Day. You know, we trudged off to the divine service at 10 a.m. on Christmas Day, but the Baptist churches were closed because Christmas Eve was the big worship day, and Christmas Day was the family day, see? And to me, that just kind of, it always struck me as just being a little strange. Now, I noticed that the big mega churches and those are kind of following suit, and they're kind of closing shop, or at least restricting their services on Sunday because it happens to be Christmas Day, and kind of reserving it more for family stuff. But that's kind of showing, I think, their Baptist roots in that. And, you know, if you don't have at the center of your worship an idea of an incarnate word and the sacrament, which is probably, you know, when you think of incarnation, like Luther's hymn, you know, your body born of Mary is here given to us, you know, if you don't have that as the center of your piety and worship, then the whole thing really doesn't hold together, you know, and so the idea of Christ's Mass just doesn't have quite the same meaning as it does for those who understand that in terms of word and sacrament.
Can the culture, in any real sense, as the culture, can it celebrate Christmas? I mean, the Christ Mass?
Well, this is going to be a tough one. Our pastors' conference kicked that around yesterday, and you know, I think there are cultures where Christianity is deeply enculturated and embedded to the point where even if you're an unbeliever, you kind of go with the flow because that's what you do. I'm not sure that's good. I really think the holy day is best articulated and best celebrated in the company of believers gathered around the word and sacrament. And that doesn't mean that we as believers have to just put a damper on everybody's fun. I don't think that's it at all either. I think we have the deepest sense of joy and the, you know, if anybody ought to be joyful at Christmas, it's those who believe that the Savior has been born in Bethlehem, and you know, that's a source of great joy. So there's plenty of room for all the other things, but I think the question is, what's at the center? What's at the center of all of this stuff? And it really has to be the hearing of that word of Christ for your forgiveness and the receiving of the gifts, really, of his incarnation, of his body and blood, which he gave on the cross to save you.
We're talking with Pastor Bill Swirla about the Merry Christmas controversy. He is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Hacienda Heights, California, author of an article on his blog titled Happy Holidays, Take Two. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. What I find a bit frustrating, Bill, at this time of the year, especially this Christmas, since the Merry Christmas controversy has come so much to the fore, it's kind of on everyone's lips, is the cheerleading that goes on at a time like this. It has become, in many ways, for some of the more prominent voices, say, in the religious right, just another way to kind of bash the secular culture. It could be any issue, but this is the issue of the season.
Well, I think there's a fair amount of defensiveness on the part of Christians, and some of it is not misplaced. I mean, we're definitely in the cultural crosshairs. I don't doubt that. I think I'd be a little miffed if you know, I'd step into a Walmart and I'd see Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Solstice, Happy Hanukkah, but no Merry Christmas. You know, if you're going to be inclusive, go for it, I say. And so Happy Holidays tries to do that. I think one of the problems, though, is when you get defensive, you begin to see threats all around, even when there aren't any, or you begin to make bigger battles than there ought to be. And I think you also tend to neglect the other devil's trick. You know, somebody, and I forget who said this, and I don't want to mention the name because I might be misquoting him, but the idea is good here, that there are really two ways to get rid of the gospel. The one is persecution, but the other is assimilation. Just kind of absorb it, and it becomes benign, and it becomes easily, you know, disregarded and ignored. We ought to fear that maybe even more than the overt persecutions or the attempt to push Christ and Christianity out of the culture. We ought to be equally wary of the attempt to embrace and assimilate it into a kind of a multicultural pantheon.
Is this what was, in the best of all possible instances, was really at the bottom of Christians' concerns, say, 20 years ago, about the commercialization of Christmas? They were worried that Christmas was being co-opted for purely retail profit motive means, and now, ironically, Christians are whining that Walmart isn't willing to do that.
That's funny. I never thought of that. I'm feeling another blog coming on. That's good. There's a contradiction there. You know, I think it's really the turn of this past century, the 20th century, where Christmas became a time for the retailers to stoke up their bottom line before the end of the year. I think that black and white movie Miracle on 34th Street kind of captures it, that Macy's and the Thanksgiving Day Parade, that inaugurated a big shopping season for people. Because I talked to some of the people who have memories from before that, and they just recall the exchange of very simple personal gifts, you know, chunks of fruit or candy or articles of clothing, but there never was this kind of frenzy to buy. And now it's almost flipped the other way. Now, while I'm in a frenzy to buy, I want people to acknowledge my religion, which is very strange, you know. The other thing, Todd, is I really think we ought to apply Two Kingdoms theology fully to all of this, because it really helps clarify. If I work for Walmart, I'm representing Walmart, and Walmart does not have religious beliefs. It's an institution. It's just, you know, in fact, Happy Holidays is probably the most appropriate thing to say on behalf of Walmart. And as long as I'm on their clock and working on their nickel, that's about all I'm given to say. It's almost a vocational thing at that point. Same with President Bush. I know he's a Christian, but out of the White House, officially out of his office, he is the president of every atheist and Muslim and Buddhist and Jewish person and Christian in this country. And so that's an appropriate thing, I think, out of his office, recognizing the two kingdoms. As Christians individually, speak your faith.
You mentioned defensiveness. Let's talk a little bit about whining, which I think never becomes the church. Whining about its place in the culture, whining about, you know, in quotations, persecution, when it really is little more than just, as you said, being in the cultural crosshairs.
You know, you read the early church, those first few centuries, which were periods either of attempted assimilation or of persecution. And you never see Christians, you know, hiring lawyers, going to court, signing petitions, trying to you know, get Caesar to do it their way or so. They continued to meet together to hear the word and receive the sacrament. They continued to do good to all men in the name of Jesus. They did more social work than anybody else was doing. And they continued in their own conversations to bear witness to the truth of Jesus Christ. And they did it whether they were legal or illegal, whether they were persecuted or welcomed. That was the focus. The focus was Christ. And I think there's this confidence that Christ had conquered all things, that he was King of Kings and reigning Lord of Lords. And these temporal circumstances just really didn't matter all that much.
So they didn't really care that the Roman centurion, when they met him at the city gate, didn't say, Happy Easter or Merry Christmas.
Well, you know, I think they might be a little suspicious if he did. You know, they had their own sort of secret handshake and secret signs, because there is a deep suspicion that somebody might be infiltrating the ranks to turn him in, or to basically do harm to these. So it's much different. And I think we can learn something from that. That Christianity has been able to thrive under hostile governments. In fact, if I read the book of Acts correctly, that's how the word of the Lord grows and spreads and multiplies, is state persecution and even religious persecution. And God always trumps it and uses it. And so defensiveness really is unbecoming, given the victory of Christ.
Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Norm calls from his car. Hi, Norm.
Hi. Say, I don't doubt that there's a possibly anti-Christian bias in a lot of this stuff, but that's typical from the world anyway. But the thing of it is, I think there's the real danger of Christians somehow, and I think you maybe said something like this earlier, but of expecting or somehow satisfy that if the big stories, whatever, say Merry Christmas, that kind of spreading the kingdom of God. Meanwhile, Jesus gave his people that responsibility, and whether the stores or anyone else says anything, that it's us that he wants to use his spirit to help us to spread that kingdom. So just thought I'd throw that in there. Lord's blessings.
And to you as well, Norm. Thank you very much for the call. Your response, Bill?
It's beautiful two kingdoms theology, right? I can't improve on it except to say amen. It's not for the institutions of our society to proclaim the gospel. It's given to the baptized believers, to the church, and to the church's ministry to be doing that. Now, you know, Todd, if you or I are going around wishing people happy holidays, we ought to be, taken out and beaten with sticks or something. That's, you know, we're betraying our office.
Well, speaking of self-censorship, I can't think of any other explanation for it, one of the most outspoken critics of the secularization of Christmas is the Reverend Jerry Falwell. We reviewed one of his sermons from First Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, some time back, it was right about this time of the year, right after the presidential elections in 2004, and he talked about the red states and the blue states and Christ and the cross and who won. We won, he said at the beginning of his sermon. And Christ was conspicuously absent from the entire sermon. Notice the inconsistency here, Bill.
Well, you know, you termed it the secularization of Christmas. And I would move it just slightly in a different direction and say probably the most dangerous thing is what we're really addressing here, and that is the politicization of Christmas, making Christmas into a political kind of football, because politics always means power. And power is always exerted in a left-handed way, as Reverend Falwell's sermon indicates. You know, it's the cross won. It's you know, whoever gets elected. And whenever anything gets politicized, I don't care what the issue is, truth is going to suffer mightily.
You have written this, and I'd like you to explain it just a little bit in the last minute or so of our conversation. You say what all this holiday politeness gets you is the Oprahfication of religion, where everyone has his or her own cultural expression of beliefs, and all religions worship the same God and lead to the same place. And isn't this just grand that we all get along so well?
I'm rather proud of that, Oprahification.
Yes.
Don't you like that?
I always love it when someone coins a term.
Well, I mean, the idea is you know, you flip it around. It's like if I'm supposed to say to you, if I discern that you're Jewish, then I respect your Jewishness by saying Happy Hanukkah. Or if I discern that you're a pagan, and I you know, say Happy Winter Solstice or whatever. All I am saying in those kinds of specific directed greetings is that it doesn't matter. What you believe simply doesn't matter. As long as you believe something, you know, you're spiritual, like they're saying that, you know, people are spiritual but not religious. That's all that says. And what I'm advocating is to speak from the center of what you believe. And we believe something radically true, that Christ is the Savior of the world, and only Christ is the Savior of the world. Otherwise, you end up with just this multicultural stew of religions, which is what's celebrated on TV all the time. Let's get them all together. We'll all pray to our own gods in our own way, and somehow this is good.
So to be consistent with only about 15 seconds, Walmart probably, if to speak what the institution believes, should say something like, happy end of the year, helping us make our bottom line, happy end of the year spending. I mean, because that's what they are concerned about.
You know, I mean, if Walmart's gonna do things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord, then it would be pay fair wages to your workers, deal honestly, with integrity in your business, and it really doesn't matter what you say in December, so much as the way in which you run your business. That this is a left-hand sort of thing. Happy Holidays works, and I always say in return, without fail, and you have a blessed and a Merry Christmas, because Jesus Christ came to save you.
Pastor Bill Swirla, thank you for being our guest. When we come back from this break, I'll tell you where you can read Pastor Bill Swirla's article on his blog, Happy Holidays Take Two. Scott Klusendorf is up next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.